what the Bible is saying to each person individually. And you don't have to read an awful lot of it, you know. We have one lady here this evening that has read the Bible every year completely. And that's outstanding. That's quite a project. That wouldn't be for me. And as most of you know, I just stay in the New Testament because it just seems to me enough to keep me busy. But I admire people like our speaker this evening who really spent a lot of his years in that college studying so that he could share what he found in that Bible, what he can share with the rest of us. So let's give a welcoming hand to Dan Hare.
You know, I never thought I'd bring a computer to work, to church, to speak. But I found that I was doing the document, so I just saved it because I took the verses off the internet. And so this is a first for me. So if I'm blaring, you'll know that, oh, this is so cool. Very, very cool. You know, it's always so much fun to come in and talk about this spiritual journey that we're on, because we're all on our own kind of it's a journey. And some of us go up Interstate 8 or go up Interstate 5, others go Interstate 8, and we're kind of zigzagging around, but I know that God looks at our heart and ultimately guides us to himself. I want to share with you tonight out of one of my favorite books, and I would just, if you want to read a book in the Bible and just be deeply, deeply enriched and blessed, I'd say read the book of Ephesians. Read it 150 times. Read it so much that it's just coming out of your heart and your soul. And I guarantee you that you will continue to get insight out of it year after year. I first read this book, gosh, I was 19, 20 years old. And at one point I had the whole book to heart. I could memorize or recite the whole thing. And frankly, I haven't read it like flipping through the pages of the Bible because it's been in my mind and my heart for this amount of time. And I still get things out of it. I still get, you know, light bulbs go on and I go, God, I forgot about that, or never saw it quite that way. And so there's kind of that illumination. when we, I love to look at people in the Bible. And we're going to look at a prayer tonight. It's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the people of Ephesus, but not only of the people of Ephesus, but of it was considered a circular letter. And so Paul would send it out to the churches, and then they would take it around like all of San Diego and all of Southern California and the region the Apostle Paul was speaking. And so I always like to look at what significant people in the Bible prayed. What was the attitude? What was the tone? What can we glean from what they're saying? And for those of you that, well, this is the first. You know how the internet thing comes in? It says the network. I just got a little pop up. We can go Angels Among Us, C146. Okay, we'll cancel. but I think it's really important to kind of get in and try to understand the tone, the texture, the attitude of the person saying the prayer. And for those of you who know, the Apostle Paul was an interesting character. He was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man, very, very smart. He probably, if tradition would have it right, memorized the entire first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, they call it. And he was so sure of how to understand the scriptures that when Jesus came, Jesus didn't fit the picture of the Messiah to him. And he was so upset about it, he was running around persecuting Christians. In fact, he was killing Christians. He was a terrorist. And we don't really think of him, and we don't talk about that much because, you know, it's so sensitive today with terrorism and people that kill other people that are misguided.
And so Paul, walking down a road, the road to Emmaus, I think it was, and a light comes out of heaven. He says, Saul. And that's what his name was before his conversion. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he looked up, and he knew it was a supernatural voice. He says, Lord, is that you? It was very real. It wasn't staged. It wasn't some formula. It wasn't some, you know, package of books that you study. It was real. It was experiential. It was dynamic. And he says, is that you? And he said, yes. And the experience was so real and so dynamic, and the light was so bright out of heaven that it basically impaired his vision for the rest of his life. And he went from that period, and I think it was 18 years, he re-looked at the scriptures. 18 years, if you can imagine, to begin to understand this dynamic of this Jesus the Christ. And this was after Jesus was crucified, died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And so Paul's looking at this for 18 years, and he's going, I know that you've spoken to me, but I need to understand what it is, that how it fits into the scriptures. After 18 years, he started going to around the churches, and is that something on me? Oh, it's somebody else. Okay, I want to make sure it was mine. So he started going around the churches, and he started to speak about Jesus, and he started to take the message of Christianity, or the way they called it. It wasn't even called Christianity until a long, long time later. And the churches and the people were going, we know about this guy. He's a terrorist. We don't really want him in our midst. And so he had to begin writing and showing that he was, in fact, a truly transformed man. And from going from a position of prominence, a religious leader, he went and he became a tent maker. He was shipwrecked. He went through about every trial and tribulation that you can imagine. And his attitude was one of, it's not my life anymore, but it's Christ who lives in me. He had this total inner peace that his life was no longer his own. And he knew, because of that experience with God, something was very real and very interior. It wasn't external as much as it was internal. And so he's writing to this group. The book, I just highly recommend you read it 150 times. Not 149, 150 times, and it'll be a blessing to you. But he says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all of the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes, and he says, I pray, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He goes on, he says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened so that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so when you look at this, it starts in verse 15 of the first chapter, and it draws you back to what he said in the first 15 verses, or first 14 verses. And in the first 14 verses, he starts off, bless you. He basically says, in the longest sentence of the Bible, it's a run-on for 14 verses. And if you know how you look for attitude and tone, it's like a little kid that comes home from school, and he says, Mommy, Mommy, I did this and I did that, and then we went to recess, and then we had hot dogs for lunch, and then we played in the circle, and we learned ABCs, and this sense of excitement and this exuberance about life. And he's just going on and on and on and on, and it's like, if you tried to interrupt him, well, what happened? No, I'm not done. Just be quiet. I got to tell you my whole story. Yeah. On and on and on. Longest sentence in the Bible. And he basically says, look, I want you to know that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God's given you everything, and it's not just stored up in heaven. It's intended for you to manifest here on earth. And that's always the big challenge, is how do we manifest that which is held up for us and get in our brain to be the pathway for those things? Do you guys have that? You know, I think, okay, I'm going to do this, and I want to manifest this thing or that thing. But Paul's saying, you're blessed with every single thing. You lack nothing. You're perfect. When you turned to Jesus Christ, and when you had that awakening, and when you sat and you listened and said, God, use me. I love that song that Andy wrote. I just love that song. God, use me. I may not be perfect. I'm far from it. But what there is, use me. Whatever it is. I'll tell you that 99.9% of it is showing up and is being available. And God can do amazing things with earth and clay when you show up. And if you stay in bed all day and you don't show up, it's a whole lot harder for God to use you. So God, use me. And but he says, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And I shared this example, and I think it's always worthwhile to bring to our remembrance kind of the idea of it. And the guy, it's the story of the guy that goes to heaven. St. Peter's at the gate, and he looks, he says, okay, yeah, you can come in, you're in the book, and all this sort of thing. And he's walking through heaven and the streets of gold and all the allegories and the pictures that we get in the scriptures. And he said, over here is the gardens, and over here is this thing, and if you're a golfer, the golf course is down there, and la-di-da, la-di-da. And there's a warehouse over in the corner. And he says, well, what's over in the warehouse? It almost looks like Costco, you know, in our human understanding. He says, I don't want to see that. And he says, and over here is this, and over, no, what is this? And he says, Pete, come on, we're buddies now. I'm in the gates, so I want to know what's in the warehouse. He says, okay, come on. And he goes in, and it's much like a Costco, and he walks up and down the aisleways, and there's aisle after aisle, and it's got all these shelves and all these boxes, and there's all these names. And he's going alphabetically, and it gets to Joe, and his name's Joe. And so he says, hey, that's my name. And there's all this stuff and all these crates up here. And he says, what's this about? And Peter said, well, you know, these are all the things that were waiting for you, but you never asked for them. They're just waiting for you. And you know what I find oftentimes, both in my life and I'm sure it happens in yours, is that we have this narrative about ourselves that either we don't deserve it, that we're not good enough, that there's something in us that doesn't bear our birthright. In fact, you know, I was going to say, I was working on this opening, you know, Donald Trump and the pageant thing. Do you watch the news? And I don't like Trump really, but I love him in this regard, is he's such a showman, he knows publicity. Bad publicity, good publicity. So anything that's shocking. And so I was going to come in today and open up and say, you know, usually I say, when I talk to you, I put one finger out and three fingers come back, because it's, you know, I'm talking to myself three times more than I'm talking to you. But I decided that I was going to come in and say, you know, tonight I'm going to turn a siren on and I'm going to make a bunch of noise. And I'm going to point three fingers out, and I'm going to say to you, 89% of you in this room, I know more about who you are than you know. I thought that'd get their attention. And I could just imagine the response. How could you say that? You don't even know my name. You have no idea what I've been through in my life. How do you know more about me and who I am? And so here's the key to it. Your narrative about yourself, who you think you are based on what your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your teacher, the big bully down the street, the girls in the clique, the everybody and everything, is not the narrative of who you really are. And I dare say that the majority of us at some level and at some time let that chatter get into our brains. Who the heck do we care what they think? It's none of our business. The only thing that matters is what God thinks. is God's narrative about you. I love the idea that we are, let me get this right, we are having, what is it, the spiritual experience in the human body. This is a spiritual experience, this road in life. The body we're in is just, this is just a chapter. It's just like this period. It's who we are inside. And so Paul goes on and he says, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And then he goes on, he says, I chose you. I adopted you as sons and daughters. I chose you. And it's kind of the story of, you know, the couple that, you know, they want to have the kid and they're trying and they're working at it. And I always say, you know, practice, 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 but it wasn't working. And they decided to adopt. And so they go to some far off country, the Soviet Union, and they go into an orphanage and they look around and they look and look and look and they see that one kid and they go, that's it. They choose that kid and they adopt that kid. And obviously it's an allegory, it's a metaphor sort of thing, that it just goes to show the idea that God chose you, specifically you, all of us, but specifically you by name. He chose to adopt you. So they take the kid home, and then they realize that the wife is pregnant, and so they have a biological and they got an adopted. And as the story goes, and I read this, the notion that the adopted kid actually ended up feeling more special because he was adopted and they picked him out of a room. And isn't it interesting is that we're born oftentimes in a rich spiritual tradition and we hear all this chatter that takes us away from what the real narrative about our life should be. And so Paul in the first 14 verses, when he just chatters on and on, read it 150 times, again, not 149 times. He basically, if you parse it, he says, I chose you from before the foundation of the world, and I redeemed you. That's like past. I chose you from the past to redeem you in the present for a future inheritance. This is it. The past, the present, and future, all of history. And this is really cool. Everything in history, everything in your life is designed to draw you closer to God. In the tougher times, you're supposed to draw you closer to God more than not. If you want to do the spiritual journey and you think it's going to be an easy deal, you know, go be decadent. Go live for something else because it's not an easy journey. And if it's easy, then you're probably doing something wrong. Oh, God, I hate to say that. Don't be easy on me. Everything that happens in our world is to draw us to the inner part of our lives. And it's my biggest challenge. You know, there's the Apostle John talks about there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. There's sensory things, there's things that you see, and then there's this ego thing that constantly draws us to those externals. We size up life, chatter out here. The big car, the big house, the beautiful this, we look outside by these standards that the world sets. And Jesus is saying, no, look inside. Go to the interior life. Go to that place where you can listen and hear what God's narrative, what your Father's narrative is about you. Block out the outside world. How many people have seen the KPPS special with Wayne Dyer, the recent one, the new one? And it's about excuses, and it's so good. If you have an opportunity to watch it, Channel 11, it's very, very good. And he talks about this idea of chatter. Who are you listening to? Okay, so Paul goes on. Let me just make a couple more points, and we'll wrap it up. He says, you've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your wholeness, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And so Paul is, in his prayer, is referring back. He says, I'm so grateful for this. And he's saying, God, I give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the idea, the question is, what's spirit mean? A spirit is, it could be the Holy Spirit, or it could be just like a small human spirit when you like break it up in interpretative kind of things, or it could mean just an attitude. You know, like that guy's got a lousy spirit, or he's kind of got a down spirit. It's an attitude. So Paul's praying that we would have an attitude that are concerned with things of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's saying that one of the greatest prayer guys around, he's saying, I'm praying that you shut out the chatter and focus on the things that renew your own narrative. It's your narrative, you guys. It's all about the narrative. Who do we believe ourselves to be? And sometimes we get into these periods of time where, you know, we don't know where we're going. I'm kind of in a point. I got done with a project. It was 4 years long, and I'm thinking up, I'm dreaming up this other thing, and I think I've never done this before. I'm thinking, how do you get from here to here? I'm like, I want to get there. I'm going, and I'm kind of stumbling around, but I can tell you that life is, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And I know when I started the project, I thought would take 2 years, ended up taking 4 years. I didn't have a clue, but I got it done. And so I kind of feel like I've said this before, kind of like the drill sergeant. Sit up, listen, be disciplined. If you're down in the dumps all the time, quit being a victim. Be victorious. Know that whether you live or whether you pass in the body, your narrative, your life is defined by the living God. There's nothing in this world or this world system that has any power over you unless you give it power. And if you're in kind of that dark spot, shake it up. Go to that quiet spot. I love my I've got yoga friends, and I do a little bit of yoga for kind of relaxation and getting quiet. And I wish I did it more, frankly. But if that's your thing, whatever it takes for you to get quiet and to listen, and it's far more about listening. Listen to God's voice. Block out the world. Get to that quiet space. The long and the short in this whole journey of life is that it's not about riches and it's not about power. And I love riches and power. I really want that Mercedes SL. I want it. I tell you, I want it. I've got about 7 of them I want. I need 7 cars. I need a 7-car garage, okay? I like all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it means nothing. The thing that means something is that God chose you as a vessel to communicate his very life as a vessel. And when you show up, and if you want to be a dam and like hoard all this stuff, you know, it's going to get kind of stinky because water gets stinky and you get mosquitoes and all this sort of thing. But if you're a river, if you're a vessel, God can begin to use you and imagine things and take that first step on the journey. But realize at the end of the day, it's about who you affect and how you encourage other people to get the right narrative about their lives as we seek to get it about our lives. And I'm ever so thankful because Jesus Christ showed us the way. He came down and he had such a strong focus on what his mission was that he knew it. He was focused. He knew he was only here for a short time. He knew what his mission was, and he went for it. And the adversary offered him the whole world. They took him up on the top of the mountain and said, all this will be yours if you just give it up and listen to that chatter. Don't listen to the chatter. Listen to that inner voice. Okay. Thank you.